Not gonna lie, I still have no clue if I'm doing this thing right. Couple things I gotta handle on my phone before we go live with the show. I think we should run the road. Let me see here. What am I live on? Everything. Morning, everybody. I'm trying to decide. I'll let you guys vote in the notes of whether or not I should run on the road or if I should run on the if I should run on the road or if I should run on my treadmill. I'm supposed to do a pretty hard session with this dude this morning, and I cannot find his phone number in my phone, which sucks. Where the hell is this dude? I don't know what to tell you guys. So I've been gone from the podcast scene for a while just because I've been trying to take a break. I've been talking to way too many people. I've got way too much stuff going on in business and training. And it's just like these last weeks before you get ready for a championship. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to deal with that shit. Sometimes I have Parker on the show, sometimes I have guests. And the next thing you know, you're just like, I don't know. You have too many cooks in the kitchen. So for right now, I'm just going to roll solo and I'm going to answer a lot of questions. I've been doing kind of live, little live things on my bicycle when I'm getting warmed up. But as I can tell right now, let's do this math with you guys. I think we are, let's see here. It's Friday. So we have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, 8 Fridays left until World Championships. So that's enough time to really get some serious training in. Yeah, there's some merch coming out. If you guys want to get merch from our company, you have to kind of be part of the Facebook group where we do house training. We just kind of keep it all maintained in there. We try not to make it all about social media. It's just for our like our customers. So if you really do want to find out what we're doing with merchandise, always go into the House Training Facebook group. And we always kind of do like little merch drops in there. We're not a merchandise company. My sponsors represents like, you know, I focus on that kind of stuff. If you guys see most of the time, I'm not wearing my own merchandise just because I want you guys to be able to have it, have some fun. So if you guys want it, always go to House Training Facebook group. You can figure it out from there. I know that I'm supposed to have Hoyer and Jared on pretty soon. So I'm sorry I didn't get a hold of you guys last week, but I've got so much stuff going on in my head. But the things I wanted to give you some updates on, guys, is one, training. I've been kind of talking about this theory of X marks the spot, and it's where strength and fitness line up with a weight. And you basically are trying to have the strength to weight ratio. And I'll just give you guys an example. My friend and I were talking last night. I have a FTP score of 400, functional threshold performance or functional threshold power, whatever you want to call it. Basically, on a bicycle for 20 minutes, I hold 400 watts, and you just hold that and just suffer through it. And it hurts, blah, blah, blah. Cyclists use it to really figure out how fit they are for the Tour de France. I like it a lot for HYROX because HYROX basically every single station, ski ergs, legs, sled push, sled pull, burpee, row, farmer carries even legs, lunges, wall balls, it's all legs. You then take the amount of kilos that you weigh and divide that number. So 400 divided by, I used to be 95 kilos, came out to 4.21, I believe. And maybe you're 4.12, 4.21, whatever. Now I'm down to 87 kilos, 88 kilos. And you look at the math on that. Now my score is 4.62 or 4.7, one of the two of those. I'm losing my numbers. So I've had an increase of strength to weight ratio by 10%. And what that means is basically I'm able to sustain horsepower and cost less. That means I can do more work. And that's like basically, if you guys are trying to figure out high performance training, that's something that I talk about a lot. So today we're going to talk about like some of the things that I've done to get there. So if you guys need any kind of insightful tips on how to do it yourself, if you guys look at my season, we're going to end right at World Championships. World Championships, I drank a ton of beer. Like I win, you drink a ton of beer, you have fun for about 2 weeks, and then we're going to be at July 1st. I'll then do a strength training block. I always ask you guys to come enjoy this thing. It's called the Summer Shred Challenge. We just try to get as muscular as possible. You build your strength up as high as you can. Last year, like an idiot, I did 2 Ironmans while doing this too. I still got enormous, which is surprising. I mean, I've got great genetics. A lot of it's muscle memory. But I was able to get enormous while doing 2 Ironmans this summer and getting a gut parasite. So I then went from probably like 202 at World Championships last year up to like 216 in the off season. So you got this 14-pound bump, way stronger, way bigger. It's all functional capacity. Now in the fall, what you do is basically you are starting to build up that strength for September, October, November, December. You're starting to do what's called strength endurance. You're now like building base training and kind of starting to travel through time and space with this new bigger body and basically being able to use sustainable horsepower at this new heightened strength for long periods of time. Lots of long cycling, lots of EMOMs, all that kind of stuff. Like I really do like that kind of like thing at that point in time of year. It's not really high revving stuff. It's just sustainable output. Next thing I do January 1st is you're going to start to then January to February 1st, depending on where you're at in your fitness, you then all of a sudden are going to start to switch things over into what's called, what we have is our training cycle called the ultimate engine. It's threshold training where it's like, you are now all of a sudden starting to cut your weight down, hold your horsepower, cut your weight down so that basically from there, you're holding same strength and being able to travel a lot harder and a lot faster with it because you weigh less now and you've developed the energy systems to really sustain these really hard intervals. So that for me looks like I do 4x8-minute runs. I then on Fridays will do like 6x5-minute runs, 6x4-minute runs at an even more intense pace. And you're starting to build that kind of stuff up. And then as time goes on, you're still holding the same amount of pace, if not going a little bit faster, then you start to cut the rest out. Now, this is when also you're going to start to cut your weight out, meaning, you know, I can tell you guys right now what I've been eating for the past, what I've been eating for the past, share screen. I never do this, but don't want to take screenshots of what I've been doing. I'm going to scan through it really quickly so you guys can't see and read my top secret information. But for the most part, I'm going to share screen so you guys can see this briefly. Where the fuck? Share screen. Entire screen. We're going to do this one. We're going to do this. So I had this coach create this plan for me right here, where you guys can start to see this is my supplementation routine. We've got oatmeal in the morning. We've got jasmine rice, all this kind of stuff. We built this whole plan. Now I'm going to hide this. I'm going to hide this away so you guys can't see that because I can't give you guys all of the inside scoop. But basically, I've been eating the same meal with give or take the same amount of volume at a calorie deficit for now 8 weeks, and I started this plan at 208. This morning, I am now 197. So 11 pounds down in 8 weeks. And this is hard to get off. I got nothing to squeeze. I got nothing, but I'm still doing it. And what I've also had to do was cut away from like really heavy barbell training. And, you know, I just have the kind of genetics where if you do heavy barbell training for myself, I blow up. Now, I'm still just as strong. I've just been able to change it up, and I've started to switch my routine towards strongman routines. Now, strongman routine still stimulates the nervous system a ton. It's much more bracing than it is muscular contractions. Muscular contractions, whether it be fives, 12s, 30s, is what's doing is breaking down muscle fiber, stimulating it, and then creating muscle growth. Now, the lower end of the spectrum is going to go towards more towards strength. The higher end of the spectrum is going to go more towards strength endurance. And what's going to happen because of that is it's going to lean towards whichever direction of specificity that you want. But every single which way you skin that cat, you are going to get muscle growth. There's just no way of avoiding it. They found this out a long time ago. If you want to learn a lot about just the science of muscular growth, stamina, and strength, my favorite person to read about is Mike Mentzer and Arthur Jones. You know, they are just nerds about the stuff. They've had the most fascinating studies of anybody that I've ever found. They're not celebrated very much because their information is not as sexy as people like it to be. Everybody likes to go into the gym for hours and hours and hours and sweat all the time and not necessarily ever progress. You know, you could take 99%, 95% of the gym population and see the same person walk in over a year's period of time and hardly see a change. It's the truth. So you can watch me in a season, and this is the interesting thing. If you watch my competitors, they look the same year after year after year. If you watch me, I have these massive swings, and I've learned this strategy through exercise science and sports training. And admittedly, like, I have to hire coaches at times because I'm always trying to move the needle in the direction that I'm going in. But I've been able to do it. And you watch me have these massive transformations, and what happens because of it is massive results. You know, I can show you guys pictures of myself, you know, let's just type in Hunter McIntyre CrossFit Games. Drop dead sexy. Super babe. He's a super babe. Present. Share screen. Entire screen. Boom. Boom. Ah, Jesus. Okay, so you look at this image right here, the size that I'm at. I mean, I'm very thick. This is about 220-pound Hunter. Obviously, I'm not nearly as lean. You can still see a lot of vascularity, but I had to get big to lift weights. Now, this is Hunter literally 1 year before. And you can see the difference inside of how lean that I am. Same exact guy, same exact race. You can see like my rib cage. You can see the indentations of my abs, a lot more vascular. That's a transformation that I made in a year. This is another kind of transformation that I made from, where's CrossFit Games? This right here, within less than a year, I made the transformation towards this person to be able to go do the Murph World Record. I recognized that I needed to have a lot more muscular density and capacity to be able to hold high repetitions. So every single season, just to give you guys an update, like I've been, let's see if I can find another crazy picture of a transformation. But look at this right here. This is the last race that I did in High Rocks, and you guys can see the size of me. Let's see here. I lost it. Lost it, guys. I'm sorry. I fucked this up for all of us. A much bigger person compared to what you guys are going to see at World Championships. But long story short, I wanted to tell you guys basically why these transformations are happening, how they create value, how they can create value in your guys' lives, why periodization is super important. I've been talking about this a lot lately because, like, it's just important for people to hear. High Rocks is this new sport. But exercise science is not new. Nobody's genetics, the human genetic code has not changed basically ever in the thousands and thousands of years. And I'll just tell you in reality, like the way that I see a lot of people training and a lot of people coaching this, they did two High Rocks and now all of a sudden they're a High Rocks coach. They used to be a CrossFit coach, a Barry boot camp instructor, a spin instructor. Now they're a High Rocks coach. And they take such slim information and try to give it to people who have even less information and give them results. a really easy way that you can tell how talented your coach is. Now, it's not all about performance, but it's about consistency. If you see that your coach's results are swinging all over the place, what the heck do you think is going to happen to your results if they're your coach? You know, I'm just telling you the gosh darn truth. I see so many athletes in this space swinging by like, if you have the swing of even 2 minutes, a minute, over a minute, that's crazy by my standard. It's you're not going to see that happen unless people are going for world records and they fall. But if I speak more on this, people will be insulted. But it truly is my opinion that you got to really do research on the people who are doing research for you. Like, I actually don't go to doctors ever. My family gets furious about this. There's several doctors in my family. But if you look at how healthy they are versus how healthy I am, I would argue that they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They may know how to cut your brain open, but do they know how to take care of their body? No. That's why I don't take advice from them. I get my blood work done every single year. I find my baseline information. For the most part, if I don't find out that there's something drastically out of the norm, which there never is, I'm fine. Unless something hurts and I cut my hand, there's what's called chronic health and there's called acute health. I think doctors do know how to deal with acute health, meaning that if you break your bone, they're going to set it and put it back together. If you want to find somebody who's going to deal with chronic health, you should go to a professional. Now, someone would probably sue me for this information, but you should go to a professional, like a true health practitioner, meaning like a personal trainer or a nutritionist. That's just my opinion. And I hope that my family hears this because I think you guys are all fat idiots. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, I just look at results. And especially as I get closer and closer to world championships, I've become more critical thinking when it comes to these kind of things. And I just get so intense about it. Like I literally in the past 8 weeks have probably read about 10 to 12 books. And I actually came up with a list of my favorite people to follow on Instagram recently and all these books. And you can rip out 90% of the pages in these books because it's usually just fluff surrounding these critical key points. And those same, you know, 10% of pages are synonymous across almost all of these health practitioners' books. For some gosh darn reason, I don't know how, after all these years of people being associated with health and wellness, they can't seem to figure out what the consistencies are. You know, I don't understand. I mean, one of the things I'll tell you guys right now, I started a hydration company because I recognized how messed up the world was based off of just hydration. Filling up your water bottle every single day is the number one thing you guys can do for your health and performance. As far as what it goes, your body's metabolism, if you're dehydrated, your metabolism decreases. As far as protein synthesis goes, meaning your body's ability to build muscle, it decreases if you're dehydrated. So if you're trying to add muscle and you're dehydrated all the time, you're just like drinking coffee and pre-workout rather than like full bottles of water, it's going to be affected. Your body's ability to maintain its core temperature, which is 100% a key factor inside of a Hyrox. There's a reason why every single person's Hyrox pictures are them soaked in sweat. It's your body's idea, attempt at regulating its core temperature by basically covering itself with water. It's like an air conditioning system, keeping it cool. The cooler you are, the lower your heart rate is. It costs less to do the work. As you start to heat up, your body's ability to do work decreases drastically. Like these things are, simple. Let's go back into the notes. I'm going to go grab these books that I've just read, and I'm going to talk about each and every single one of them for a little bit. And we'll go through it. Everybody be patient with me. Usually I get up this time of the show to go to the bathroom, but I'm actually going to get books. And also I need to figure out where the fuck this guy is who I'm going to go running with. Let's see here. Bottom of the hill. I got the sick workout I'll tell you guys about right now. Phil's the most important product that you could probably take, in my mind, I think Strength X2 is our best product. by far. I can't begin to tell you. That's been my favorite product for a really long time. If you guys are not taking Strength X2, shame on you. I mean, there's 67 people watching this live right now. It's not one of our bigger shows, but if every single one of you guys are watching this show, that means you're interested in exercise science. If you're not taking creatine, you're a fool. And if you're not taking something like citrulline, which is a blood flow enhancer, it's the number one on the market, you're a fool also, because you're doing high intensity training, which needs blood flow to fuel muscles, which are going to try to do more muscular work, which means more muscular results, which means don't be a sucker. Hydro, I think, is absolutely amazing, but I'm telling you right now, as far as moving the needle, the best thing that we have is Strength X2. As far as recovery goes, you know, Hydro is our product. Amino acids paired with electrolytes and taurine being able to sustain high heart rates when you're pushing intensity, you're not going to find a better formula inside of our sport. One of our competitors just came out with a product which is supposed to be a pre-workout enhancer. I want you guys to know, I'm not going to name the name of the company, but I want you guys to go back and look at the ingredient panels on all of these products. And most of these companies per serving do not even hit 50% of the minimum effective dose that you guys need to have a response. Now, just to let you know, minimum effective dose means minimum. It means like if I'm going to send you to a party, I'm going to send you 2 beers to give you a slight buzz. If you want to have a good time, I'm going to send you with 6 beers. If you're running HYROX events, you need a minimum of 6 beers. I'm taking right now 8 to 10 grams of beta alanine a day. Most companies on the market are giving you less than 2,000 milligrams per serving of beta alanine. They're giving you same kind of ingredients when it comes to creatine. They're giving you really, really low ones. You recognize that you need to take like 4 servings of their products and stack together multiple versions of their products to get just one of ours. And I'm not even saying that to say you guys should take Strength like Builder. If you guys really want to just expedite the system here, you can go and buy all these products in bulk online and mix your own things, which I did when I first got started. The reason why I love our company is because we mix all the doses for you perfectly per set. You don't have to get out like a scale, all this kind of stuff. We designed it to be very easy, efficient, and effective for our clients. And they're formulas that I have been using for years. But I'm telling you guys right now, don't get fucking scammed by these shitty companies out there, man. I'm telling you the truth. It's the reason why I started my company. I'm over this bullshit. The sports nutrition market is a damn sham. I'll be back. I'm going to go get these books. Fuck you, competitors. All right, these are just the books that I could find. I also have a bunch at my cabin. There's a lot on my phone, so I'm going to read them in order. Daily Stoic, 366 Meditations on Wisdom, Perseverance, and the Art of Living by Ryan Holiday. Holiday? Sorry. I was given this as a gift. I will admit, the biggest thing I have against my competitors is not my physicality, it's my mentality. I will tell you this right here is one of these kind of things where you get to open it up. God laid down this law saying, if you want some good, get it from yourself. Simple things like that you get to read and then they'll break down the meaning of it. It's pretty freaking mind-blowing if you can get your head wrapped around this stuff and stop watching TikTok videos. The Wisdom of Mike Mentzer, The Art, Science, and Philosophy of a Bodybuilding Legend. Now, this guy right here is who I've been telling you guys about. He should have won the 1980 Mr. Olympia, but it's widely known in a lot of the – it's widely known that basically Arnold Schwarzenegger basically bought his way into winning the 1980 Olympia. It was when they were filming Pumping Iron and all this stuff, and it basically was kind of like a whole sham, and a lot of the pro bodybuilders then – boycotted the Olympia for a couple years, the top guys in the game, and it was Daily Stoic. This guy was the best bodybuilder of the time. Dude's absolute mutant. His understanding of exercise science, the way to train the body, strengthen the body, and he was also a great philosopher. It's unparalleled. It's as good as it gets. Now, I've been telling you guys a lot about strength-to-weight ratio, and cycling is the best study in the entire world when it comes to strength-to-weight ratio and the cardiovascular system. It's probably the most advanced science sport in the entire world. So this is called the science of the Tour de France. It's absolutely astounding. Great information about telling you about their nutrition, their exercise, altitude training. You know, it's a great book. You get to also understand, like, really just the way that these guys live their lives. Rock and roll. The science of running. This one's pretty cool. You know, I think there's a lot of science in here, but I will tell you, beyond the science, sometimes it just gets too complicated and it will get you freaked out about too many factors. And I'm not about that, but I will tell you this book right here. It's when I read about the lactate threshold testing. I don't think lactate threshold testing is actually as prolific as they say it is, because in my mind, our sport uses different energy systems at different times, whereas a lot of running is pretty much the same thing all the time. You're staying very consistent, but I could be wrong. Could be totally wrong. Could be the dumbest person you know. Percy Cerutti, middle distance running. This was like the first. I read this again multiple times a year, once a year at least. This is basically like the first David Goggins of the running world. This old ass dude was coaching the best runners in the world, and he had such like a stoic and intense. He's such a stoic and intense way of handling things. The dude was a freaking gangster. He was such a gangster. I loved him. Genius. Training for climbing. I've been telling you guys this a bunch, that I've been basically studying training core and strongman work. And I've always done that leading up to world championships, because you can't build muscle anymore and you can't be that intense when it comes to lifting too heavy with a barbell, because it just builds that dense muscle fiber that's not porous and is often very too dense to hit the capacity that I want to hit, which is a world championship level performance. Obviously, another strength to weight ratio sport is rock climbing. These guys need to be as lean as possible and strong as possible to overcome like the hardest, you know, gravity challenges facing humans in history. And they've just got a lot of like interesting ways of developing your strength to weight ratio, your power capacity. So another great book. Kettlebell Simple and Sinister. You know, this one is, I bought a kettlebell, which I'll tell you guys about in a second. You know, this right here is good in the way that it's kind of simple and you can read it and kind of get a little bit of visual. It's a very simple book. I would say that if you've never trained kettlebells, this is a great purchase for you. If not, it's not advanced enough. Lance Armstrong's Performance Training by Lance Armstrong and Chris Carmichael. I doubt Lance actually wrote this. There's some really interesting things in here. I do really like it. You know, it seems very basic, but sometimes basic's necessary, because you just need to hammer those same thoughts across and just stay consistent. So this, I would say, is a great book if you guys are probably like an intermediate level training person. Let's see here what I bought on Bought online. Ooh, girl. God, these books are good. Easy Strength. Just finished reading Easy Strength again. Okay, the book. Enter the Kettlebell by Pavel Satsulin. Amazing. Stellar. Really just teach you guys some of the basic of some of like the most basic rudimentary, like just the basic movements of just creating great strength capacity without creating bodybuilding capacity, which is often confused. I often tell people this a lot, that they take bodybuilding routines and put it inside of High Rocks and then put an endurance program over it and they just totally screw themselves. Religions of the World. That's interesting. Philosophy. Wheelman, Lance Armstrong. I would probably say the most interesting thing if you want to learn about exercise science and strength to weight ratio is The Secret Race, Tyler Hamilton's book. And those are just the books that I've finished in recent history. And then also this one. I just finished this. Journey to Ixler. What the fuck? Journey to Ixlan, Carlos Castaneda, by Don Juan. Crazy shit. That's a trip. Just some things. Just some things I want to talk to you guys about. I think if you're really interested in sports performance and performance in general, it doesn't always have to be about sports. You guys should be, in my mind, you guys should definitely be reading more books. I think so many people that I've recognized right now sit down with me and they'll have conversations and they'll say, hey, such and such, I heard this, that, and the other thing. I was like, where did you hear that? They're like, TikTok. I'm like, you didn't hear that from fucking TikTok. You watched a 15-year-old do a dance in front of you and tell you about his arm routine. Like, that's not sound science when it comes to sports performance or anything, philosophy, anything. I've been saying that I know better than anybody else is probably part of the problem also, but I do think that I don't notice a lot of people actually going into the dense work that it takes to have knowledge on something, my opinion. So if you guys want, I buy a book, learn a little bit. In closing, guys, I'll tell you guys the last two pieces that I have coming up. One, I just bought this kettlebell that is 106 pounds, 48 kilos, and there's a challenge out there called the Beast Tamer. If you guys know anybody who's accomplished this, I would love to interview them. I've been going on the internet, and it's actually very hard to find people. It's very hard to find people who have completed this. Like, you'll find them, but like, I've DM'd them. They won't answer me. They're just busy swinging kettlebells. So the Beast Tamer is this massive kettlebell. You need to pistol it. A single leg squat holding the kettlebell. You need to press it holding the kettlebell and you need to do a pull up. Right now, I'm plateaued on the pistol and the press. I can do the pull up very easily. The pistol, I cannot go above the 2-pound kettlebell. And the press, I'm like stuck at like 88 pounds. Now, they're allowed to do a little bit of a hike press, but holy shit, you have to be strong. Like, crazy strong to do this. And it's not about being big. It's just about being strong, which I like. It's just about your body's ability to hold weight, not rep it out. And by my standard, like, I'm trying to be light right now. So I'm fascinated by strength to weight ratio. So anybody who knows the kettlebell world, who's watching this, that wants to maybe help support my journey with this bad boy, I'd love your help. Next thing I want to talk about, I'm going to bring this up on the screen. Ooh. Guys, are you ready for this? Are you ready? So, a handful of years ago, I was on a television show, and I got to go around the world and do the hardest races. My favorite race and my greatest failure is this, the world's toughest. You see, you read that right there? Let's go back one more time. The world's toughest mountain bike race. It's 140K, 7,000 meters of climbing of D+. I don't even know what that means. I only got to 100K. Now, I was a young boy. I was 25 years old. I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm going back. It's on June 28th, June 29th. And I'm going to be racing this bad boy. I'm basically going to do world championships. I'm shipping my bike across and I'm going to do this. So I've been dreaming of this race for a really long time. And I've had it. It's the only race bib that I have on my desk still because I told myself I was going to go back and do it. But it's the flagship race event, much more than a race. It's above all a challenge against oneself. The grail for every participant taking part in the race is to become a finisher of the 140K, the queen distance. I don't know what the king distance means. With 1,500 participants taking part, only a few will succeed. Three distances. We only care about the 140K at 7,000 meters. After the start, riders can decide due to the course whether or not to stop or continue the final distance. Join the coveted finisher circle, the world's toughest mountain bike race. I'm going back. I'm going back, guys. So, plenty of you guys know right now, not only am I going to world championships in France and whoop the shit out of them, I'm going to go get this race done that I've been talking about for way too long. So, just want to kind of have that rant with you guys. Just want to have that rant. It's no big deal. I'm going to answer some questions and then I'm going to get the heck out of here because I got a workout coming up. Phils, what is your number one tip for a young athlete wanting to get good at Hyrox? I would say get a good training plan and stick to it for a long time. It's so confusing to me how many people, like I have our training company and I watch people come in and out of it rapidly. You don't get any, like, that'd be like me trying to say, listen, I would like you, you're telling me right now, I'd like to become a doctor and you go to med school for 8 weeks. You stick around for 6 weeks and then you leave. You're like, I don't like this medical program. I'm going to a new one. Oh, I'm over here now. I'm at Tufts University. Oh, you know what? I don't like this medical program. I'm going to go to a new one. Oh, I'm over here at University of Miami there for another 6 weeks. I don't like this one. I'm going to a new one. I'm going to be a doctor someday. Like, you guys are idiots. It's crazy to me the amount of people that will come in and out of a training program and stick to it 0% because they think they know better. And like, there's a reason why most people, like, they gain moderate gains. It's not even that hard to gain moderate gains when you first get started. Like, if you tie your shoes, you're succeeding when you first get started. But if you want to get better, it is becoming this consistent thing of collecting data and progressing properly. Like, I would never say that you're going to go to the Olympics for being a gymnast after just doing pull-ups. Like, you need to go do pull-ups, and then you're going to need to learn how to use your core. Then you're going to need to learn how to do a mount. Then you're going to learn how to do the rings with a pull-up. Then you're going to learn how to, like, do all this. And then you get to an Iron Cross after 10 years of training. And everybody wants to get to the Iron Cross of Hyrox right now, which is basically a sub-60 minute. And for women, it's a sub-70 minute. And by my standard, everybody is trying to jump into an Iron Cross. Now, if I did that to you just on the rings, you guys would collapse and tear your pec out immediately. And it'd be such an obvious answer. You're like, oh my God, I'm an idiot. Why did I think I could do an Iron Cross? But that's just not the case. I think everybody who's watching this thing, if you come into my training program and I see you leave within 4 weeks, which I do, I get to see all your guys' names coming in and out. I don't care. It's not hurting me emotionally. I actually sit there and rub my hands and recognize you'll never be my competition. It's because you guys don't want to embrace the toughness and reality that you have to do the same thing over and over again hundreds of times to gain any level of proficiency, not even a level of excellence. And to take matters into your own hands is a noble quest, but it's not a good one. It's not going to work out. Just telling you right now. I have right now three coaches, and I'm the number one coach in this business. I'm the number one athlete in this business. Maybe I'm not the number one coach. Number one athlete, and I have three coaches right now, and I'm spending a tremendous amount of money on them. Not because I like to just throw money into a fire pit and light it on fire. It's because I need to get data from people that know a ton of information beyond what I know and are willing to keep me in check. So that'd be my best advice for anybody. Appreciate you listening to my rant. Hey, Hunter. This is from Joshua Blenkow. I just wanted to thank you for inspiring me to get fit. I've done my first run and my first Spartan race thanks to watching your videos and making me realize it doesn't have to be that complicated. Thug love, dude. I like that. Adventure Life 365. What's Strength X2 that makes it so good for endurance and OCR athletes? Well, creatine is basically a compound that is an energy system, phosphagen system, glycolytic system, oxidative system. Creatine focuses on the phosphagen system, which is explosive muscle fibers and spurts under 10 seconds. Now, creating power, let's just say you jumping up to get up over an obstacle, when you're tired, that level of power output drops over and over and over again. And I will tell you, even myself, I've gone to races and I've been so exhausted, I've not been able to jump up and get a hold of something or pull your body over something, because it only takes that initial first pull to get over something. But if you don't have the strength, you're never going to get it done. I created biceps when races because I was able to outpull Hobie Call in a race in 2013 at Spartan Race Malibu because I was stronger than him. If you trained harder, maybe you'd be able to beat me. So you need creatine. Citrulline is blood flow. Obviously, everybody knows that we have veins pumping through our body. The more blood flow that you get, the more oxygen you get, the more fuel that you get into your muscles to create more power output. And sustained power output is what all athletes want to do, especially in OCR, Hyrox, cycling. You know, the only thing that you could do better than this is doping. If you can afford EPO, you should buy it instead of what we have. Any good cycling recommendations? I don't know what that means, James Roberts. It's a very vague question. I think you should cycle harder. Also, anybody who's getting into cycling, I would say you should do more cycling intervals, 5 minutes on, 5 minutes off. Shit, doesn't get much harder than that. That's a good-ass workout, boy. All right. Oh, 8:30. All right, guys, we're running outside. All right, it's locked in. It's locked in, boys and girls. All right, I'm going to go into the Q&As up here, and I'm going to answer these questions. And guys, we're out of here for the breakfast. If anybody else has questions down here, please ask them before I get out of here. When you're logging miles on the bike, currently doing 90K in ride yesterday for programming, what are you thinking about when you're riding on a C2? Are you changing the damper, getting out of the saddle, or just holding? I mean, dude, zone two rides doesn't really matter what you do. You know, I wouldn't change your positioning and doing intervals, but zone two rides, it doesn't matter. If you're going to do it on a concept two, do whatever it takes. It's going to suck. That's what it's going to take. Bruh, let's get back in here. Who'd this be? These dudes are fucking pussies. Okay, see all questions. Would you consider the Barclay Marathon? No, at least not right now. What size shorts do you wear on those 2.5 tights for 247? Large. I'm 200 pounds and I got a big butt, so large. Maybe you want to go medium because you look small. Alex Downsow. How do you know you're running the right pace while doing a Hyrox? This is an interesting question. You train it a lot so that your body knows exactly what's going on. I'll tell you right now, if I close my eyes and I walk up to a bar that's 315 versus 325, you obviously know the difference. And I could tell you which one's the 325. And you should do it enough times where you basically like can get it down to a science. What are things you can do to improve your running form? I would just say, basically, guys, get that 180 BPM thing. That's a good start. That's a good cheap start. But then you probably want to get a coach to view this kind of stuff. My proudest moment in sports, probably Broken Skull Ranch. That felt nice. I'll say, you guys, if you ever want to go back and watch something cool, I would go do it. How do I make money? From Frank Ogg. I have an OnlyFans. Guys, I'm not going to lie. Why am I single? Nice. Suck farts. Wow. You know what's interesting? I've had two people reach out to me now saying, drop Parker from the pod. This guy Sterling doesn't like him. Interesting. Can I just get a raise of hands from anybody who's actually drank a full bottle of water this morning? If you haven't, you can say no. But I bet you guys, most of you haven't. This is my second one. I'm going to sign off after answering these questions, guys, and then you may see me or may not next week. I'm basically just turtle mode. I do what I want. Random, if you're looking for interviews, Ryan Hall is a good interview, American record holder. I'm good friends with Ryan. Ryan's a good guy. I should probably bring him on here. Someone's running a 415K. Realistically, how long do you reckon until they get to a 330K? A really, really long time. I mean, there's so many factors getting involved in it, but I'll tell you right now that basically I spent like 5 years of running to break 16 minutes in the 5K again. 5 years. And that's basically the amount of distance that you're trying to travel right now per K. The only way that you can do it is probably by losing weight and getting more consistent training. I'll just tell you right now, if you were going to train, if you weighed 200 pounds and you're running a 415K for 10 by 415 with 60 seconds rest, let's just say that workout. If you wanted to get down to 330, you would have to train like that for probably 3 to 5 years, or you could get down to 170 pounds and you'd do it in 3 months. I know that sucks. But that's just the reality of it. Like the strength to weight ratio is something I talk about all the time. There's so many supplements. As a young man, I don't know which one to take. Do you know any good books for that? Get Power Reading. But if you're trying to look supplements, I mean, just go to our site, Builder Sports. And the best supplements are what we call our tier one supplements, or what we sell. Otherwise, I wouldn't be selling them. Only thing that I would say is like I've recognized over the past, you know, by working with my nutritionist, I brought protein powder back in. Protein powder is very good when you're trying to get high levels of protein without having the macronutrients values of other things in there very easily. Meaning if I have 25, 50 grams of protein through whey protein, I'll probably get about 3 to 4 grams of fat in there. If I try to get 50 grams of protein out of a steak, I'm going to get like 50 grams of fat in there. It's like ridiculous. It's astounding. And you don't need that fat, especially when you're trying to stay lean. You know, the same thing is going to happen with a chicken breast, especially if you have the skin on it or you cook it in oil or put in butter. It's like you just, I'm telling you right now, it makes a big difference. So tier one supplements, Builder Sports, Builder International, I would say, you know, that's as good as it gets. You're going to end up spending about $100 a month to get the kind of nutrients that are necessary to train hard. You know, give or take $100 to $200, depending on the amount that you're training. And, you know, I own a supplement company. I'm still buying supplements from other companies because I care that much. But this is my full-time job. I'm just being straight with you guys. I think I'm going to do a price breakdown of what it costs me to train at this level throughout the year so that people can really understand what it takes to be a professional athlete at this level. And I think it's interesting because I always wanted to know what professional athletes are doing. And Hyrox is such like a new and cool sport that I'm going to just take a price breakdown of every purchase that I've made through Venmo, credit cards, all that kind of stuff. I'm going to show my travel budget. I'm going to show my supplement budget. I'm going to show my gear budget. I'll tell you just now in gear, you guys don't really want to know. Like a job, like an average job, full salary would take the cost to pay for the amount of gear that I had to get this year. It's astounding. And it gets worse every single year. But that's just pushing the human limits. Guys, can I go sub 20 in 6 weeks if you lose 10 pounds? Drop 15, dude. And Sterling, if you really want to do it, get on the High Rocks running program. Get a good program. Get a good diet. Dial it in. You can't do stupid things with a stupid plan. You got to do stupid things with a smart plan. That's my belief. All right, guys. I'll catch you soon. Where do I find the tier one supplements? It's all the supplements that we have on our website, Phils. Phils, I'm going to educate you on asking better questions. Grown ass man. I'm going to turn you smart again, boy. I'll give you some lessons. All right, guys. I'll catch up with you soon. Thug Life.